are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, where the DMs are always open for you. And subscribe, smash the button so you get this bad boy once it hits the streets. We will talk to Jeff Petch and Jim Griffin from the Mad Russian. They finished number two in the Circa Sports Million, 63-27 ATS, 70%. But they had to sweat it out in week 18 with six figures on the line. That conversation and plenty of stories from Mad Russian coming up later on in the show. Wildcard weekend was a disaster for most American sports books. The players destroyed the books. And if you think about it, it was really that simple. If you didn't overthink it and just thought the following, well, pick the better quarterback, that happened in pretty much every game. Buccaneers with Tom Brady, Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Bengals, Joe Burrow, Bills, Josh Allen, Rams, Matthew Stafford, and then the Niners. I don't know if they had the better quarterback, but the Niners were the public dog. So the Chiefs and Bucks, they were layups. Bengals a favorite, Bills a favorite, Rams a favorite, Niners the public dog. I think everybody won except for me this weekend. I had the Raiders, had the Cowboys, did have the Rams on Monday night, but it was a bad weekend, and I know a lot of respected players that had bad weekends. Now, I'm not going to chalk it up as, well, I'm sharp. At this point in the game, a lot of the sharp stuff doesn't matter. The sharps were on the Eagles. The sharps were on the Raiders. The sharps were on the Patriots. The sharps were on the Cardinals. From 4 to 3.5 to 3, the sharps didn't win one game. I guess there was relative wise guy action on San Francisco, but then right before kickoff, the books moved Dallas from -3 to -3.5. You don't move off the 3 unless there's a lot of respected money in the hopper. Wise guys got smoked. And that will happen in the postseason when these lines sometimes get over-massaged and overthought. We had a guy on years ago. Longtime listeners will remember the name Mark Jorstad. He finished, I think, second or third in the Westgate Super Contest back in 2017. We asked him what his logic was for picking NFL games, and he was like, well, I just picked the better quarterback. And sometimes in the postseason, it's that simple. Bucks, Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Rams, Niners. That simple. And I'm getting shook right now. 4-10 in my last 14 plays on Chicken Dinner. Not great. Told you about the Raiders +6. They had every opportunity. They had more first downs, more yards, and they're down 10 driving in the red zone, and I knew it too. On 3rd and 3, I said to myself, if they don't convert here, this clown's going to kick the field goal. And he did. To cut it from 10 to 7, which is the stupidest thing in the world, because you need a touchdown anyway. You might as well go for it. You need 3 yards to get a first, score the touchdown, go down 3, put the pressure back on the Bengals. Well, they didn't do that. They kicked the 3, lose by 7. I'm catching 6. Dallas sucked. What, 14, 15 penalties, 7 of them pre-snap. And I'll tell you what. This ride I'm on, down toward the bottom, well, not the bottom, this cooler that I'm on, could have gotten even worse on Monday. I kid you not, I almost tweeted out the under in Illinois-Purdue, which in the morning was 150.5. Market closed 147. Purdue's up the whole game. Purdue's up double digits. And in the final 2 minutes, Purdue's up 7. They blow that lead. Illinois ties it to go to overtime, 69-69. That's 138. I would have been under 150.5. So you beat the regulation close by almost 13 points. Naturally, game goes to double overtime and sails over. I would have been shook as fuck. Sometimes you need to take a couple of days off. And after Saturday, Sunday, I took Monday off. took Tuesday off as far as the daily stuff goes. We do have the Packers, which we'll talk about in a moment. But sometimes you got to just exhale, recalibrate, just not think about this for 24 to 48 hours. This happens to me like 2-3 times a year. When you're in the batter's box and you're trying to hit a raisin, it feels like everything you touch finds a way to go south. You lose close games. You pick teams that get blown out. You can't catch a break. It happens. And I'm here to tell you that it happens to me. And I'm supposed to do this for a living. I'm supposed to analyze markets and pick more winners than losers. I'm still sometimes a little off. It happens to all of us. Those on Twitter that only talk about their wins and gloss over their losses, those are the people you watch out for. I'm just sitting here telling you, you are going to go through cold streaks. If you're picking multiple sports 12 months a year, every single year, like I've been doing for years, you're going to go cold. It's about how you respond. That's where I'm at right now, and it sucks. And eventually, as you all know, that raisin will morph into a beach ball. But when you're not seeing the zone clearly, and you're whiffing, and you're losing, like you're getting called third strikes against you, it's okay to take a couple days off. Meanwhile, the bartender is hot, apparently. A mini winning streak, 2-0 on wildcard weekend. Easy. Bengals minus 5.5, 49ers money line. Bartender 2-0 in the playoffs. Which poses the question, do you ride him? Is he going 3-0, 4-0? Or do you fade his ass into oblivion in the third playoff game? I lean toward the latter because I know the bartender. And now he's cocky. And a cocky bartender is usually pretty easy because he's just so confident that it's almost decided that he's going to slip on the banana peel. The only better bartender is the one that's cold when he's 0-4, 0-5, and he'll like flip on himself. He'll be on side A, but then he'll see something on television about side B, and he'll pick side B, or he'll fire a first half over or something. When he starts throwing blindfolded darts, that's the best bartender. But a cocky bartender is right below the befuddled bartender. And I have to shout out Tree Bark Falafel, who makes his picks weekly on Twitter at Abe Cannon. He's a part of the show on Fridays. He had the Bengals as well. He is now 11-5 this NFL season. So congrats to him. All right, let's go Packers minus 6. Now, this is a very polarizing game because there's a very polarizing quarterback that is a question mark as we tape this on a Wednesday afternoon. Now, the Niners are going to practice late Wednesday, I think 3 or 4 o'clock Pacific on the West Coast, and we'll learn more about Garoppolo's status then. But I was told on Tuesday that reports are not good about Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder. Some people are saying that he's having a hard time gripping the football with the thumb and powering through his throws. He took a big hit second quarter against the Dallas Cowboys, and we don't know yet. We can speculate, we can dig through garbage, but the Niners are keeping this as close to the vest as possible. And Kyle Shanahan's not going to say jack. He's like, well, it's a slight shoulder sprain. We don't know. They had a walkthrough on Tuesday. It was expected to be very light. Jimmy didn't throw, reportedly, in that session, which is not really breaking news. We'll know a lot more Wednesday and Thursday. But I've spoken to multiple bookmakers who are bracing for the likelihood that Garoppolo is nowhere near 100% heading into Saturday's game at Green Bay. And there's a chance he doesn't play, and it's on to the backup rookie Trey Lance. But the betting line has already moved. Remember, this opened at BetOnline. It was Green Bay minus 6.5. And that got slammed right away because some respected metric players love the Niners. And they thought that was a great number. Well, we'll take 6.5. And the market went down to about 5, 5.5, 5, 5.5, 5. And then Circa opened Green Bay minus 4, and then that got whacked up. So Monday morning, it's about 5, 5.5, and then the reports start to come out on Tuesday that Jimmy's in trouble. 5.5, 6. So we're painted 6 everywhere at this point in time. And if Jimmy is unable to go, that line is going to hit 7 and likely higher. I don't know how much higher, because there will be respected groups that look at the drop-off between Garoppolo and Lance and think it's minimal, and they'll take 7.5 and 8. But I was very happy to tweet out Packers -6. I don't even care who's at quarterback. I don't think either of them are any good. Lance has a very high ceiling, but he has a low floor. Is he really ready for Lambeau Field? Single-degree temperatures, snow, wind? No, he's not. But I don't like Garoppolo that much either. I argue that the Packers -6 is a good bet, given what we could learn in the coming days. That Garoppolo's banged up, and he's going to give it a go. All right, I like it. Let's see somebody drive him to the turf in the frozen tundra and see how that shoulder lasts. You could dope him up as much as you want. It's not going to make him better. If Lance is starting, this number is 7.5, 8 at one point. Probably gets bet back a little bit. But I'm okay either way, and that's the point. And it's a fascinating conversation with Jimmy Garoppolo and how much he's worth to the point spread. And as you know, it's not just about the starter, it's about the worth of the backup as well. And Chris Bennett, I wrote this up on Ness, and he told me, we haven't figured out the backup yet. He's a rookie, and he's only had a little bit of playing time. But I tweeted this out yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the most polarizing quarterbacks I can remember when it comes to the point spread. Some bookmakers say he's 2.5 points better than Lance. Others say there's no drop-off. And one guy told me he thinks Lance is better. And I actually think he's serious. So it's back and forth on the line value from Garoppolo to Lance. It is not concrete. It's easy with Brady to Gabbert in Tampa. It's about 5.5, 6 points. It's easy with Mahomes and Henny, 6, 6.5 points. The gap between Garoppolo and Lance is mystifying. It cannot be computed. I think that Jimmy is 2 points better, but I also don't think Jimmy's that good. So that plays into the handicap that I don't care who's at quarterback. I'm taking this Packers team off a first-round bye. They have been on a mission since Aaron Rodgers got back from his hiatus when he was going to retire or wanted to get traded. This game means more to this guy this time around. And that doesn't mean they're going to win. Of course San Francisco could win. Of course they could cover. But the law of averages in my brain tells me that more times than not, the Packers win this game by a touchdown or more. Period. That simple. They are getting healthier at the right time. Left tackle David Bakhtiari is back. Top corner Jaire Alexander is back. Linebacker Za'Darius Smith is back. Meanwhile, San Francisco doesn't know who's going to be at quarterback. Nick Bosa has a concussion, or he's in the protocol, and Fred Warner is not going to be 100%. Green Bay getting healthier. San Francisco not as healthy. I don't care. I'm laying 6. And I imagine we're going to see 6.5 soon. And Wednesday, Thursday is going to be very telling, because nothing will be official until Friday. Friday night, Saturday morning, if Garoppolo is going to get ruled out, you'll hear it then, at which point the line will not be 6 anymore. I promise you that. So that's why I'm on Green Bay. More boosts over the weekend and the usual. More bullshit. Do you know what a scoregami is? It's an NFL final score that has never occurred before. There were 6 scoregamis in the regular season this year. 6 in 272 NFL games. So, the team over at Bet Rivers decided to do you a solid, and I use solid with quotation marks around it. Bet Rivers actually posted a wild card weekend boost from plus 350 to plus 500 on a scoregami. Now, plus 500 implies a 17% chance of probability. But as I said earlier, there were 6 in 272 games. That is 2.2%. The true betting math on a scoregami actually occurring is just shy of 50-1. But hey, Bet Rivers will boost it for you from plus 350 to plus 500. Fuck off. Please don't bet this stuff. I just gave you the math. It's literally that simple. When there were 6 scoregamis in 272 games, the true number comes out at about 45-1. But Bet Rivers wants you to think that plus 350 to 5-1 is a great deal. They think you're stupid. I can't believe some of this stuff. And it gets tweeted and blasted and retweeted and promoted. Wow. Did you, hey, Bill, did you see? They're going to give you 5-1 for a score, Gami. Odds are good. Bill doesn't know that it should be 45-1 or 50-1. It drives me insane because they are trying to cannibalize the people that don't understand the methods and the math and the probability. Come on. There were 6 wild card games, and there were 6 scoregamis all year. Unbelievable, this stuff. Got a direct message from Mitchell Ross. He reached out at Mitchie Road 99. He said, hey, Sam, I have a friend who has put every free bet in the last year on the Bucks to win the Super Bowl. Mitch says his buddy could win about $30,000 if that happens, which is a pretty nice payday. Mitch doesn't really agree on hedging. He's a horse racing player, and he doesn't really apply the hedging principles, but he says, I know you talk about it from time to time on Chicken Dinner. How would you proceed, and should or when should he hedge it? I thought it was too early to do it, but wanted to hear your opinion. Thanks, man. Love the show. All right, so I responded to Mitch. I said, Mitch, here's the deal. I would have him bet a couple thousand on Green Bay to win the whole thing, like $7,000, and then cross fingers for a Buccaneers-Pack NFC title game. And this is really like the last great chance to get a good number, relatively speaking, on the Packers. You could find them, let's see, plus 375 at Caesars, plus 375 at BetMGM, plus 375 at FoxBet, plus 375 at PointsBet. So if you bet $2,000, you do the math, no, you're going to make decent money there. But that price will go way away once the Packers win this game, likely, against San Francisco. So that's what I would do. You do the math, 2,000 times 3.75, you're talking about $7,500. And then you can hedge in the Super Bowl with the AFC side. Odds are good that one of these two teams, Green Bay or Tampa Bay, is getting in the Super Bowl. So with my strategy, you're expecting the Buccaneers to win at home with Tom Brady against the Rams, who sort of come into this game as an inflated, sexy underdog after pounding the Cardinals on Monday night. People are like, oh, wow, the Rams are good. Well, no, Cliff Kingsbury stinks, and that's the truth. And I saw this stat on the Action Network on Kingsbury. The end of Kingsbury's seasons as a head coach at Texas Tech, lost 5 of 6 in 13, 4 of 6 in 14, 4 of 6 in 15, 6 of 8 in 16, 6 of 8 in 17, 5 in a row to end in 18. Arizona in 19, his first season, they lost 7 of 9 at the end. In 20, they lost 5 of 7. In 21, they lost 5 of 6. I put more stock in Kingsbury being awful when the pressure ramps up than the Rams all of a sudden being great. So my strategy with this hedge for Mitch and his buddy would be to key in the Buccaneer money you already have to win $30,000 if they win it all, and then just bet the Packers to win the Super Bowl at plus 370, plus 375. And you go into potentially an NFC championship game where you have Green Bay and Tampa Bay. You're a lock to get into the Super Bowl if that happens. And depending on who it is, you know, I was looking at power ratings the other day. Kenny White sent me an email with his NFL power ratings. He's got, let's see, Kansas City at 111, Buffalo at 109, Green Bay at 108. He's also got Tampa 109. So KC 111, Buffalo 109, Tampa 109, Green Bay 108. So it's not going to be a big spread. If the Bucs beat the Pack in the NFC title game, you've got Tampa and you've got $30,000 on the line, minus the two you bet on Green Bay, you've got $28,000. And now you can do whatever you want on the AFC side. With Kansas City or Buffalo, you probably do money line in that game. If it's Tennessee, Tennessee's the dog. So that's what I would do. Long story short, bet a couple G's on Green Bay to win the Super Bowl, and then just hope that one of those two teams, Green Bay or Tampa Bay, makes it into the Super Bowl. That's what I would do. And the last thing, before we get to Mad Russian, reviews. I really appreciate those of you that take the time, the 30 or 60 seconds, to leave a review, 1 through 5 stars. And then some of you go the extra mile and actually leave a paragraph or two. You leave a description of your review. You can write a review if you so choose. So I wanted to read the last three that I've gotten. One from M. Reed 531. Sam is the man. I promise this is not me. It pays to listen to smart people, especially when you're picking up a new hobby like sports gambling. Sam's not some tout that fires out picks, so if you're looking for mindless bets, look elsewhere. Sam tries to teach you the ins and outs of the industry and brings on knowledgeable guests who have practical experience and knowledge so you can learn and become a better gambler. Chicken Dinner is my go-to recommendation to anyone else looking to learn more about the industry, get the right teams at the right price. Thank you, M. Reed 531. 73 Airbender writes, when I listen to your podcast, it just takes me to a different place. Thank you. That's a great review. And this one is from Fun Police Dead. Dead is capitalized. Not sure why. Through COVID, I had a total It's a Wonderful Life moment with this podcast. Standing at the ledge, ready to jump when I heard Chicken Dinner and Sam's voice blasting in a passing car. I overheard Sam talking about how brain dead the bartender was. At that moment, I realized I'm not the bartender and I didn't jump. Also, great gambling advice. Sam's terrific. So I appreciate those reviews. Really, I do. It helps the algorithm. It helps get this podcast into the ears of people that would normally not hear it. If you leave a review, be honest. If you want to give it 1 star, fine. You want to go 3? Fine. You want to go 5? Great. Just be honest the way that I'm honest with you. You review the show. It'll help grow the brand. And that's all I have to say about that. So thank you for the reviews. Thanks for listening. And let's hear from a couple guys who just made a lot of money in the Circus Sports Million. Joining us on Chicken Dinner, Mad Russian is the team name. They finished number 2 in the Circus Sports Million. Got a big fat check for $325,000. And two of the gentlemen on that squad joining me right here, Jeff Petch and Jim Griffin. Jeff and Jim, welcome to the show. First and foremost, guys, congratulations. That's a lot of money.
Thank you, Sammy P. Thanks for having us, man. We're just so damn excited. We can't see straight. Once in a lifetime deal here. And so happy you had us on.
Yeah, and like most of our family and friends would say, we're as surprised as they are to be in this position talking to you today. So it was a hell of a run, and we're excited.
Jeff, how did this come together? How long have you and Jimmy been playing with each other on the gambling side of things, picking each other's brains, and when did you actually decide to take the plunge for the million?
So group of three of us when it's all said and done. So it's me, Griffin, and my very close buddy, Scott Porter. He lives out in Vegas. So, you know, going into this, you know, we kind of looked into getting the contest and having Scott, this was last year, having Scott be the guy that goes to the Circa every day and, you know, puts in our plays because he's right there, you know, 20, 30 minutes away. And lo and behold, we find out about this proxy thing. And I'm like, what the hell? This is amazing. Are you shitting me? We can be in Florida and Michigan and be able to get in this contest. So we looked into that. We ended up with a proxy called Winner's Circle Proxy, who I think is literally the best in the business. Brett and the guys do an amazing job there. And so we got hooked up with them. And you know, from that, we just joined this last year. And so we've been in it 2 years now. But we're all three from Battle Creek, Michigan. I went to high school with Scott Porter. Greek was on my rival high school. So we've known each other for, you know, call it, you know, years run away from us, but 30 plus years.
Jim, when did you know you guys had a chance? When did you know that this thing was for real? About what time?
Well, it was, look, I mean, we knew about week 14. It was early December when it turned real for us. You know, while we were in the top five, we were tied third at that point in time. We were 45-20. Incredible record. We always had in the back of our mind what my good brother, Brian, told us at one point. don't worry, you guys will find a way to fuck this up, right? So we got a good kick out of that through most of the year. You know, and we tried to keep it light and follow the same script that we had followed week after week, not take it too seriously. But once we hit week 14, we knew we were in this thing, you know, through the end.
It's not easy to pick games under pressure ever, you know, when you're down 500 with the bookie or whatever. Like, that in itself is hard. There's a lot of mental gymnastics in that situation. But there's three of you on one team making five picks, and you guys are fucking crushing it. It still gets mental, though, because the pressure keeps picking up the more you win. How stressful did this get? Jeff, you first.
Call it a 10 out of 10 stress, you know, going into the final week. I mean, that you know, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it gets extremely stressful. You know, we had a system down where Scotty P would text me his plays, and then I would tell him right afterwards, shoot me another text because I don't want to see him. Just send me your top two, top four, whatever it may be. Get them off to me. I don't want to look at them. So then the Griff and I would have a conversation. We'd sit down and we'd pick out who we like as our top five. We also joined the Westgate as well. I don't know if you guys know that, but we also joined the Westgate. We ended up seventh in the Westgate this year. So the Greek and I would pick out our five Westgate plays. And then at that point we would switch over. And then I would say, all right, you ready for Scotty P's plays? So then we would then take a look at Scotty P's plays. And then we might make an adjustment for like one or two based on what Scotty liked. And, it, you know, the crazy part about this shit, man, is that you wouldn't believe how much our picks mirrored each other. I mean, especially maybe Griffin's first or second plays, which, by the way, his first play hit at about an 80% clip. It was freaking unbelievable. So, but anyhow, with that being said, I mean, it's just, it's amazing how him and I would be on the same side quite a bit of the time. And then when Scotty would pump in, he would be, you know, right there with us for the most part. And we would pick out our top five then for the circa, and we would run with it.
Yeah, and on my end, it felt a lot simpler when you didn't have to make five picks. So picking five games, you know, 18 weeks is a lot of, it takes a lot of work and a lot of, you know, a lot of time. For me, it was easier to zero in on two or three games that I felt the most comfortable with. You do the research on it. You know, you look at the injuries and the COVID situation, and then you compare notes at the end of the week and you roll up the five. But surprisingly, there were zero arguments at the end of it. We would ride the hot hand if there was any debate. And then we'd submit it and roll. So we definitely didn't overthink it or change the process week to week throughout the year.
Mad Russian, 63-27 in the Circa Million, 70%. And then in the Westgate Super Contest, 52-31-1, 63%. For context, professional gamblers would kill to hit 56% over a season. You guys are at 70-1 and 63 in the other. That's insanity. I still call bullshit on, like, there was no fighting in week 18. That's got to be a crock of shit. Come on.
No, there was no fighting. In fact, you know, we tend to lean dogs whenever we can, and we like the matchup, and we bet we definitely place more dogs than favorites. And heading into week 18. We love the card because the NFL, you know, changed the scheduling. So division rivals are playing each other, which makes it a heck of a lot more competitive for the teams that aren't going to be in the playoffs versus if Jacksonville were playing an out-of-division, you know, an out-of-division team that, you know, Jacksonville didn't really care about. So it really wasn't combative at all. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Let's go through that week 18 list. Like, who was, you guys both said you made your strong picks. Who was the first team that popped in mind? It wasn't Jacksonville, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And you know, we were down 2.5 points going into the last weekend. And I think we were tied for seventh at the time. So we had six other teams ahead of us. And so part of it was, you know, I mean, week 18 traditionally is a week where, you know, you would ride favorites because of, you know, it's not competitive and you got playoff teams going against teams that aren't going to be in the playoffs. But, you know, for us, the card matched up really well versus teams we had liked, you know, the previous week or two. So mine were, you know, well, we went 5-0. So, you know, I love the Niners, heading into the Rams divisional playoffs, playing for a spot. We both like Pittsburgh, in that spot against Baltimore with a backup quarterback. And then the Dolphins, we both aligned on as well against the Patriots off a real bad beat to the Bills the previous week.
Got to give a quick shout out to Scotty P here. He liked the Seattle play there, which was the one different play that we made from the Westgate to Circa. So, you know, that helped us get to our 5-0. And then obviously wrapping it up with the 8 o'clock game, we took the Raiders, man. And God forbid that damn game went into overtime. So I think my Fitbit called 911 about halftime right there.
And in true Raider fashion, they find themselves in a situation in the wild card round. I took 6 points. I felt great about taking 6. They had every opportunity to cover that game. They're down 10. They kick the field goal to go down 7 and then have a chance to pop it in at the end. They don't cover that one, but in your good faith and your good luck, they cover the previous week.
Well, we were both on them this week as well. You know, we decided, you know, I think it was Scotty P that contacted us around Tuesday or Wednesday this last week. And, was like, hey man, 70%, are we really going to throw in the towel here after regular season? I'm like, fuck that. Let's each throw in a nickel on a 3-team parlay. So we had the Raiders as one, and we had the Niners, and Greg, help me out.
We had the Bills.
So it was walk away. And then, you know, God forbid, Carr, you know, he did have two opportunities to get in there, and we were on the right side. Sammy P, all three of us, we just couldn't get it done.
You got to follow the boys at Mad Russian NFL. I do notice that there are some plays on here. The people are going to fucking chase me around with a steak on fire if I don't ask you, who do we like in the divisional round? Any leans yet on a Tuesday as we tape this?
Ooh, well, it's early in the week and a lot can happen. You know, we're eyeballing the injury report out of San Francisco, and if Bosa and Warner are healthy, we absolutely love that matchup, catching 5-6, wherever it lands, and maybe it'll drop below that. But that team is built to control the line of scrimmage, to win a cold weather game. They should be able to beat up the Packers even off a bye week and keep that game close, if not win it outright.
What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, we already talked about it earlier. That's both of our big play right there. I know Jimmy G is dealing with a little bit of an injury and is throwing the shoulder. Doesn't sound like anything major. So I think if we, you know, obviously we got to have Jimmy G there. You know, I think he helps us get the win. Bosa's a big part of that. If he's not playing, I'm a little bit hesitant because he's just such a stud, takes over the game. I see us ground control, running the crap out of the ball, and, you know, like the Greek said, a good chance to win that game. Probably wouldn't go money line. I'd take the points, but I do like San Fran in that spot.
I think my favorite bet this weekend is the early game on Sunday. It's a 3 o'clock kick. I mean, people are doing this thing now where they're just trying to get cute and bet against Brady and the boys. You know, all I heard about last week was, well, he doesn't have Godwin, he doesn't have Brown. And I'm thinking, well, he's still the best to ever do it. He has one of the best tight ends to ever play, a pretty damn good offensive line, and he makes the receivers. The receivers don't make him, not to mention the defense is finally healthy, and they guided them to a Super Bowl last year. I have a feeling, man, that Monday Island blowout where the Rams just pounded the Cardinals, that might actually put the public on the Rams, and I can lay 2.5 with the reigning champs at home. Like, what am I missing there?
Personally, I don't think you're missing anything. You know, Scotty P mentioned to me earlier when I talked to him, he said, you know, I like Tampa Bay. And, you know, Griff and I said, you know, hey, if he asked us about all the games, do we mention Tampa Bay? And I'm like, you know, I'm still a little bit on the fence. I don't want to, you know, the Niners are definitely our play, but I'm with you, man. I think field goal or less with the GOAT, And at home, I mean, are you shitting me? When do you see that kind of number with him? I just, you know, Stafford, I've watched him. I, you know, grew up in Michigan, Detroit fan. Yeah, I do like him more than others, but give me the GOAT all day, minus three.
And, Jimmy, you got in-season revenge on this. Los Angeles embarrassed Tampa earlier this season.
Yeah, and that does play a factor as well. I'm with you. I think that whenever you see the public riding a dog like that on the road on a short number, you know, your antennas should go up that, you know, Tom Brady at home all day long. You know, what's the money line? Probably 150?
Best money line you could find. Yeah, minus 150. I see 148 offshore, but at these American books, yeah, 150 minus 155.
Yeah, feels right to me.
So I also I want to thank our buddy Slow Hands, Bobby Joe Harrigan, for putting us together. And he told me, Jeff, you have a whale of a story on one of the Final Fours in the last couple of years. I mean, I've been like patting you guys on the ass, but you know, you guys also lose too from time to time. What happened in 2019?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, the best story obviously is the Greek and I getting to spend it, you know, the last week together. So we'll go over that when we were in Detroit this last week. We spent it watching the games. But back in 2019, you know, I love betting futures, right? So 2019 Final Four, I'll kind of paint the picture for you. I had Texas Tech to win 35 dimes. I had Michigan State to win 15 dimes and Auburn to win 26. So I had three out of the four. Virginia was the only one I didn't have. So, you know, going into it, and this is why I love my wife so much. You know, she's so supportive of me. I'm like, Dawn, I mean, we need to get on a flight tomorrow to Vegas. And she's like, what are you talking? We'll figure out the babysit shit. We just need to get on the road. Let's go. So she's like, all right. I go, I got a hedge when I get out there. And I kind of explained the story to her. She's like, all right, let's go. So I booked the flights that night. We went out. First game rolls around. It's Virginia-Auburn. I think the line was 6, going back to it. Money line minus 245. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, Christ, I mean, I can't lay 245 and try to hedge there. So I'm like, you know what? Let me watch this game. And if worst case scenario, I'll hedge on the finals if I can. So I don't know if you remember the game, Sammy P. Do you remember it?
Was that the three ball in the corner where he was like out of bounds or the clock went down?
Jesus, man. Yeah, so right before that, the guy goes behind his legs, dribble. He double dribbles, clear as day. I scream it out in the Mirage Sportsbook. I'm screaming, double dribble. They don't freaking call it. They get off a shot with 0.6 left. Controversial foul. The guy fouls him from the three-point line, man. At this point, I'm up two. The guy buries the first two, buries the third one. I'm down one, and I lose by one. Hmm. So there goes that out. Now I got Virginia in the finals. Keep in mind, that's the only team I don't have, right? Everything else I have. So now I got Michigan State, Texas Tech. Texas Tech advances. So I've got 35 dimes on Texas Tech that I – by the way, I bet way early. So I got 35 dimes on it. I might have had maybe – 1,500 invested. I can't remember what number I got, but it was a good number. And so the whole time, you know, what am I going to hedge? How much am I going to hedge? And I got to know some of the guys that were taking plays at the Mirage, and the guy says, hey, you know, what do you want it? And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's let it run.
Oh.
So here I am with my wife sitting at the Mirage. I'm there to do one thing, and you know, anyone that knows me already could have wrote the chapter. And so here we are, we're sitting there, damn game goes into overtime, I lose by overtime, I walk out of Vegas with $0 when it's all said and done.
Wow. And he what he probably didn't mention is he not only did he not hedge, but he likely bet more on the same three teams throughout the weekend and lost even more than he originally thought he would. So that's how it rolls.
I can't sit here throw darts at you because I had a very similar situation. It was 2017. That was the Final Four. It was in Arizona. That previous September, we had bet Gonzaga to win the national title at 70-1. And I think there were three of us, a lot like your guys' group, we had $3,000 on it combined. So we each had a dime on it, and we were going to make, you know, $210,000. We got to the title game against North Carolina, and Carolina was like a 2-point favorite. And we had the same idea. You know what? We'll bet just enough to get our money back. I think we had $1,500 each on Carolina's money line. We said, we are not going to hedge, though, because we are here to complete this mission. And I'll tell you what, I wish I would have put like $20,000 on Carolina, but we can't sit here in hindsight and just, we can't pick and choose our battles after the game is over, boys.
I hear you, man. It was a struggle. Yeah. It was a long flight home, brother, let me tell you. But, you know, the wifey's used to it. So, you know, she was there to ease my pain. Let's just put it up.
And I'll tell you, you know, going into last, you know, week 18, we had talked about, you know, the opportunity to hedge and where we could do it and how we could do it. And being in tied for seventh going into it made it really nearly impossible to do. But we instead of doing that and considering ways to maximize our money, we drove to MGM Grand in Detroit and just bet everything that we played, went 5-0, and we wrapped four of the teams in a money line parlay and had absolutely the best time throughout the day. And it came to, actually, the opportunity we did have to hedge was before the Oakland game, because that was the fourth leg of that parlay. And one of our buddies said, well, you got to put, you know, X number of thousands of dollars into hedge to guarantee cash. And we spent about 3 seconds, looked at each other, just started laughing because there was no way in heck we were going to do it at that point of the day.
I'm going to let you guys out with this. Do the best you can. What was that final game like?
Well, I got to be honest, man. I was pretty much like Balboa. I was seeing three of everything. I was pretty hammered at that point, man. I was, you know, my buddy called me to hedge.
What were you drinking?
I started out with some Miller Lights. That's my go-to. And then I think it was about the end of the 1 o'clock when I switched over to some vodkas, and that's when it got ugly. So, you know, rumor has it that I started a dance party in the lobby after the game was over. But with that being said, yeah, that going into that final game, it was absolutely nuts, man. You know, we felt like we were on the right side, right, Greek? I mean, we really did. And just to see everything come together, you know, I had a handful of buddies from college that came in to watch the game with me, so they were able to enjoy it as well. It was just, it was one of those days, man, I will never forget the rest of my life.
And Scotty P was sober in Vegas, kind of working. We didn't think twice about looking into tiebreakers until about, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock Eastern when we had momentum. And I think we knew by kickoff of that Raiders game that we couldn't actually win the $1 million. But the difference between the Raiders covering and not, I think, was, you know, $60,000 to $80,000 or something. The difference between tie one and third place, I think, was the swing for us. So it was massive. It was massive. And we were feeling no pain. It was, and I think we bet out of Oakland in the second half while we were at it there. So we just kept rolling. And
it
worked.
You kept pushing it. You kept doing it.
We kept doing it. We kept doing
Sammy, we go 0-5 there, brother. We go 0-5 that week. We win $3,000 total. So the difference between 5-0 and 0-5 in week 18, like the Greek said, you know, call it 322 G's. It was just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And 5-0 in NFL sides on the final week of the season is in most circles an impossibility. But you guys get it done. You finish strong. You get a big, goofy, Happy Gilmore check that says Mad Russian for $325,000. And guess what? Now you're bankrolled in contests for life.
Yeah, we'll never not be there with this contest, you know. I think my over-under is about 65 in age, but I'll be there all the way to 65, guarantee it. If I'm fortunate enough to live past that, guarantee the Greek and I and Scotty P will be there every single year.
I'll take over 65 and a half for the limit, Jim.
You're on, my man. You're on.
Jeff Petch, Jim Griffin, Scotty Porter, also a part of this team. Go follow our guys at Mad Russian NFL. Second in the Circus Sports Million. They tied for first, but the tiebreaker pushed them to second and seventh in the Westgate Super Contest. I have a feeling these guys are going to make some waves on social media, and they are going to change the way that buddies get together and try and win a lot of money. You guys completed the dream, man. Congrats. So happy for you. And whenever we get together, I'm going to skip the Miller Lights. I'm going straight to the vodka, I promise.
Where do I sign, man? Where do I sign? I'll be
there.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Jeff and Jim from Mad Russian for hopping on the program. Record check here, 217, 217, and 7. Split even. I'm telling you, it has been a brutal couple of weeks. Highlighted by a 4-10 stretch. Still up a little bit all time, 0.9 units. I don't mean to laugh, but sometimes you just can't find a winner, and that's where I'm at right now. Do have the Packers -6. And remember, we've got a couple things in the hopper here. We got Kansas City and Tennessee to win the AFC, +650 and 5-1. If that happens, that's a nice little feather in the cap, and we will find our rhythm in college basketball. That's for sure. That's my favorite sport to handicap, and it has not been great so far this season. Coming up on the show, I'm going to try and reach out to our favorite Dallas Cowboy fan. You know who that is. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. As we get you closer to divisional round in the NFL postseason, probably add another bet, maybe two. I don't know. There's only four games, so maybe only one more. We shall see. Cash some tickets, make some money, and pay close attention to Jimmy Garoppolo and that shoulder injury. We'll talk to you Friday right here on Chicken Dinner.
My brother told me so, you'd be the greatest man alive.